You're listening to the 1 Minute Writing Tip, a podcast that gives you tips on how to overcome writer's block, overwhelm, and self-doubt, learn how to accomplish your God-given book idea, even if you're a busy mompreneur, confidently publish to bestseller, and use your book as a tool for impact and for purpose. We have a variety of episodes with interviews from best-selling authors in the industry, experts who have tools and tricks to help you succeed, and of course, recommendations from me, your host, Caitlin Silva. You can find even more resources on wewritebooks.com, where you can also take advantage of your complimentary bestseller assessment to get a step-by-step roadmap to accomplish your bestseller and beyond. So let's get into today's episode. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the 1 Minute Writing Tip Podcast. I am super excited. Today I am interviewing Amanda Pfeiffer. So excited she's here. Amanda is a health coach and the self-published author of The Balancing Act, Juggling Motherhood, Illness, and Self-Care. She has a passion for empowering mamas, and her expertise extends to navigating the intricate dance between parenting and chronic health challenges. And she just has a really practical approach for achieving balance in the chaos of modern motherhood. So Amanda, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. And I'm just really excited to have you.
Oh, thank you. That was so sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. So will you just get us started off by sharing a little bit about your own journey and how you really got to where you are today?
Okay, so I've always loved reading and writing. And have always just stories. You learn so much through reading. And so that's just always been a huge, huge draw for me. So I have three kiddos, and the oldest is a junior in high school, and then I have a middle schooler, and then our little lady is in elementary school, last year of elementary school. And I found when I was pregnant with my daughter, so she's 10, she's going to be 11 next month, I had a lot of health issues crop up, and to the point where we had to schedule C-section. It was just really hard and traumatic. And then, after a number of years, they had 4 autoimmune issues, and did a lot of research, a lot of doctor's appointments, lots of stuff for medical issues. And fast forward to 2020, had some surgeries and just felt like I was finally in a really good place. And so the past couple of years, I've been putting together like a coaching program to help other mamas with chronic illness. And last summer, I took some time to kind of narrow down the things that I've done over the past decade plus to get myself to the space that I am now, and chose to write a book, self-published, because it was much easier to do that than try to navigate all of the ordeals of trying to get published with big publishing companies. And honestly, it's not a very long book. I think it's like 65 pages. So, tried to keep it short and concise because moms who have chronic illness tend to have a lot of brain fog. And so wanted it to be a conversational book that people could really read in 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. Or if they're putting their baby down for a nap and they actually have a 20-minute span where they can just take 20 minutes to sit down, put their feet up, and read something that's not going to be too much for their head. Because brain fog is just something else. And then when you add kiddos into the mix, it's a lot to keep track of. So wanted the book to be digestible for moms who don't have a lot of time, energy, or mental space. And I also wanted it to be something that moms could practically put into action. So lots of actionable steps, not much fluff. So that's hopefully helpful to the moms who choose to pick it up and read it.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. And I just love that you purposefully made it something that is easily consumed by those moms that right. are in that situation. I love your heart there. I love your heart with writing the book for those moms who are in that space, that they are dealing with, you know, just the different challenges. And it's like, you know, the reality is a mom kind of in her mind envisions herself sitting down and having time to read this nice long book. But in reality, it's like you're sneaking away to the bathroom, you know, maybe TMI, but like how often is that the case, right? Where you're just like, oh, coming through, you know? And so I love that you have that in mind. So just talk to me a little bit more about, you know, kind of your heart behind the book. Like, why did you write this book and what do you really want moms to take away from it?
So I've spent lots and lots of time, energy, money, trying to figure out what was wrong with me. and you know, you get labeled things. And the reality is when you go see a doctor or you go see a rheumatologist, like they only have so much time to sit there and talk to you. And most of the conversation is very surface level. Like, well, you can take this medication or you could do this type of exercise, diet and mental health. Like those things are rarely discussed when you're seeing those types of doctors. And, you know, I only see my rheumatologist once a year because her schedule is so packed that like, that's all she has. And granted, I think I'm to the point now where like, maybe even once a year is too much because like, I've finally gotten myself to a point where most days I forget there's anything wrong with me, which is a huge blessing because even 5 years ago, 3 years ago, that was not the case. But I really wanted other moms to know, like, there are so many resources out there that don't require a lot of time, energy, or money to get you feeling better every day. And I think a lot of times moms think that, like, I need to eat XYZ things, or I need to do like this and this thing or this other thing, and it's going to cost all this money. Where like mom guilt is already a thing for when like you're feeling sick, you don't feel like you're giving your kids the best care they could possibly have because you don't feel well. So then you're also taking more time away from your kids so that you can exercise or so that you can go to another doctor's appointment or go to another appointment. So like mom guilt is a huge part of a lot of women, a lot of moms' illness journey. And so like to know, like there are a ton of things that you could do with your kids. There are a ton of things that you can do for free or really low cost where your kids can also be a part of it. And also like your kids will see you taking the time and energy to invest in your health. And that'll just become normal to them because like they learn by watching you. And if you didn't have that example, or up until now, you've not, you know, given the best example of like, hey, is, you know, mom doesn't exercise a ton, but now mom's going to start exercising. And the kids will see that and be like, oh, that's, and it becomes a new normal. So moms create the normals for their kids. And so like to have that be a part of, just letting other moms know, like you create the new normal for your family and for your kids and for yourself. And a lot of times those new normals don't have to be thousands of dollars. It can be, you know, doing a yoga class at home with your kiddos. There are tons of YouTube videos that you could follow along with every day. And I know with my kids, when they were younger, they always want to exercise with mom. And, you know, when I'm on my Pilates reformer, that's not possible. But if we're standing in front of the TV doing some sort of cardio or Tai Chi or something like that, it's inexpensive. It also keeps them occupied so that they're not doing other things. And they're learning that like their health is valuable and it's worth investing time into.
I love what you shared there about how moms create the normal. And I think that's so important for moms to remember that it doesn't have to be all doom and gloom. It can be creative. It can be learning. It can be fun. And it doesn't mean that you just have your kids always going and doing something else. Like just including them in the journey. And like you said, just inviting them to be a part of it, even if it's something small, I think is really valuable because ultimately, I think as parents, especially in the modern world, it's so easy to get caught up in thinking that we have to have all the shiny things or our kids have to have all the shiny things. But really, kids just want quality time. And we get so busy in our own lives that we forget that that quality time is what really is going to matter in the long run. So I love what you shared there. That was really beautiful. So talk to me a little bit more about, you know, how you carve out time for writing while still balancing your family's needs and your needs and all the different things that are going on.
Sure. So over the time that I was writing this book, it was the summer. So it was much easier to get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and get 3 hours of writing in before everybody else was waking up. Because obviously during the summer, nobody's going to school. So there's a little bit more loosey-goosey schedule going on. Their kids stay up later now that they're getting older. And so most often they wouldn't be getting up until like 7:30, 8 o'clock, which is a little bit better than during the school year. So just being really strict about like saying Monday through Friday, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. I'm going to sit downstairs. I'm going to write for a couple of hours. And there are plenty of times where I did that. And then I'd go back in the afternoon or evening and read what I wrote. And I'd be like, oh, this is nothing. Like, this is just junk. But I think it's the repetition and a schedule. Like, even though it was summer, like having no schedule for the rest of the family, keeping myself like accountable and just knowing that like there are plenty of times where I was like, oh, this sucks. This is just so hard to get out of bed. And I would write for like maybe an hour, hour and a half, or edit or do a couple of things. And then I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to lay down on the couch for a few minutes and just rest my eyes. So having that schedule built in and then going back and rereading and editing the things, knowing that it wasn't going to be perfect. I was writing at 5 o'clock in the morning most days. So giving myself grace, because at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's, it was practical for that situation. But there are, you know, other times where I would squeeze it in on the weekend. So Sunday after church, my husband would take our kids and do other things. And I would just have some focus time to just like go through what I'd written or format. And do different things, like look for photos to add into the, or create charts, recipes, different things. So part of it is juggling the being present for my family, because I know that I'm not productive when my kids are talking to me and I'm sitting in front of my computer and they're like, mom, 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 like what I'm writing is not going to be like coherent if they're like poking at me. And I also know that, like, it's, you know, telling my kids just a second, like gets old pretty fast for both of us. And I don't want my kids to remember their childhood of being just a second, mom's working on something, just a second, because that adds another layer to the mom guilt. Right. So just trying to be really present with my kids, because I don't want them to have that feeling that they weren't important. But I also have, you know, told my kids that, you know, if mom's working on something, like we have a system in our house where they have to put their hand on my shoulder and they just have to wait until I'm ready if I'm working on something. So hand on the shoulder, and I'll acknowledge that they've put their hand on my shoulder by touching it with my hand, but I'm not going to stop doing what I'm working on until I'm ready for a break. So they know, like, that's just something that we've established with our kids when they were younger. Because, you know, there are some times that I need to work on things, and what they are trying to tell me might not be the most important thing in that moment. So it's figuring out boundaries, but also knowing that if I didn't put some intentional time in the morning, it probably just wouldn't be there, because kids and family and schedules, and we have a couple dogs, like it's chaos. So I tried to do the best to make it less chaotic.
Yeah, absolutely. Such good things to share that you shared there. Especially like you said, just how it's so important to communicate effectively and have good boundaries, but also to consider, okay, you know, what is going to be the child's perspective on this, and how can I navigate around their needs while still making sure that I am taking care of, you know, what I need to be doing or the message that I'm trying to share or whatever that is. So I really love what you shared there too. And I think especially for those listeners who are thinking, okay, I definitely am not getting up at 5 a.m. You know, they're not a morning person, but you know, maybe, you know, what you could do instead is you could stay up a little bit later at night after the kids are in bed, or, you know, maybe, you know, if you're working outside the home, you have a break at work that you could devote, you know, even 30 minutes to, or if you are home with your kids, or your kids have, they're at school in your home, while they're at school is a great time to devote some time, you know, while they're not present. So that way, when they are present, you can be fully present with them. That was a lot of presence, but I think it's important to take what you shared for our listeners and just, you know, apply it to your life in the best way that you can. So Amanda, what would be some other tips that you might offer for aspiring authors who are listening and they are in that place of like, I really want to write this book. I really have this thing I want to share that I know could help people, or that, you know, it's just this fun adventure or whatever it is. And I am struggling with, you know, maybe illness or family or just these other things. What would be your tips for them?
I think like carving out the time is like we just mentioned, like putting it on the calendar. So if you have a family calendar or Google calendar, whatever you use, so that people know like during this period of time, you're just not available, and then you can't schedule a doctor's appointment. You know, you can't schedule anything in that appointment block because it's already taken. Like that's already done. I would also say utilize tools like Google Docs, because you could type on your phone while you're sitting in the car line at picking kids up from school. You can, and then like it's all auto saved, so that when you go back to it another time, like you just pick up from where you've left off. Utilizing something like Trello to keep all of your ideas organized, or I guess Airtable might be a good option as well, so that you have an outline of what you want to do, and then you can go back and say, okay, like for me, I did like boundaries, and then under the boundaries, I just did an overlay or an outline about like what type of boundaries would need to be enforced here, and then like just an outline of what you would think, and then you can go back and add, delete, and you know, or perhaps you find a link to something that you're like, oh, this would be a really good source. I have notes on my phone that I like whenever I find something, if I'm scrolling social media and I'm like, oh, this author is really good, I should look at the rest of their books and see, like, you know, or like sources, inspiration. So to have a note on your phone or Google Doc for that as well, just because moms get distracted very easily because you're doing 5,000 things at once. And so there's a lot of times where I'm like, oh, I should remember to do that. But then in 2 seconds, I've forgotten what I said I was going to do. So I, lots of lists, and again, utilizing the free things that are out there, like Trello, Airtable, Google Docs, and just, just relying on your memory with moms is kind of a losing battle. So notes are very handy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, to your point too, I love that you mentioned the tools that are available, because so many times it's so easy to think you have to have it one specific way. Like you have to have this one software or this one, you know, technique or whatever. And really the truth is that especially with just writing the book and getting it out of you, it's important to focus on that, just getting the words out, however that has to happen. And so I love tools that are versatile, where if I'm at my computer, I can be working on it. If I'm on my phone, I can be working on it. If I'm driving for 5 hours on the road, I can be working on it. You know, yeah. I love those tools that allow you to really make the most of that time. And I do love what you said about, you know, putting it on your calendar and being intentional and having notes to yourself and really making it a priority, because I think as moms, obviously our families are number one priority all the time, and they will consume everything if we let it. And that's fine it's fine for them to be the number one priority. They should be. And at the same time, it's important to look at the other things you want to accomplish and schedule them in, make them a priority, just as important as making dinner and doing the laundry and all the things. Right. You know, it's like, oh, it's one thing that's on my list that I'm going to make sure happens. And so I think that's super key. So do you have any upcoming projects you'd like to share about or anything else that you're working on?
A couple of things right now. One is an ebook for moms who are looking to kind of maintain a sense of of health while they're traveling with their kids. So it's kind of a combination of cookbook. So like if you're in a hotel or if you're doing a road trip, those types of things, like how to maintain a healthy eating and schedule, sleep, all of the things that, you know, when you're a mom and you're traveling with kids, you're just taking your job to a new location. And it just gets that much harder because you don't have all of the things that you normally have at your disposal. So to have like some easy meals that you can prep ahead of time. So it'll help budget wise, because I know that when our family of five goes out to dinner, it is, even at a very inexpensive restaurant, it still adds up quite quickly. So, and when we traveled, so we have traveled full time as a family. We lived in a converted school bus and traveled around the US. And so knowing like a lot of the tips and tricks that I employed in that year that we were traveling every day or every couple weeks, it was a lot. And you're still responsible for feeding all these people all day long. And trying to maintain budgets and health and just keeping, you know, with kids, if they eat a lot of junk food, then it's going to make your job a lot harder. And as fun as vacations are and restaurants are, if people aren't feeling well because they've indulged a little too much, or they're not sleeping because they're in a new strange place, like having an arsenal of things that as moms, you can kind of keep things as least chaotic as possible while traveling. So that's something that I'm working on, hopefully to have available slightly before spring break. And then I'm also working with my coaching business and just looking to help moms who have chronic illness and don't really know where to start outside of the conventional medicine world. Especially moms who don't really know how to prioritize themselves, and they need a little bit of a push to say that it's okay to start feeling healthy and moving towards that direction. And knowing that it's going to take work, and your family's going to have to be along for the ride. And knowing, like we said earlier, like you get to create the normal for your family. And so creating a new normal might be a little difficult. And so just helping moms figure that new normal out for their family, for themselves, and for their family by extension.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. It sounds like such a phenomenal ebook. I can't wait for it to come out. It sounds like it's going to be a super useful tool and very helpful for all the moms that are in that place and are needing some kind of resource like that. That's amazing.
I hope so.
And I love what you shared about your, you know, just wanting to help coach people and just guide the moms through that process too. That's amazing. So if people are listening and they're, especially the moms, right, and they're thinking, wow, this sounds amazing. Like, I want to get my hands on that. I want to talk to Amanda. How can they do that? How can they connect with you?
So they can send me an email through my business. It's called A Mama's Grace. So amamasgrace@gmail.com. I do have a Facebook page, but confession time is I'm not very good about updating things on there. So I do have that as well. And I will still like see it if somebody were to reach out via that, but email is probably the best.
Awesome. That's amazing. So I will make sure that I include all those details in the description as well for you guys, plus the link so that you guys can get Amanda's book, which I highly recommend getting. It's a great resource. And thank you again, Amanda, for coming on the podcast. It was really wonderful to have you.
This is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. And so for all my listeners also, if you enjoyed the episode, make sure you let me know in the comments below, and I'll see you guys on the next one. Thanks so much for tuning in to the 1 Minute Writing Tip podcast. If you're craving a community of writers and a place where you can have regular accountability and be able to celebrate what you're accomplishing and just have that community support to reach your goals and continue to make that progress, I'd like to invite you to the Writers Club. It's a free Facebook group. You can go to facebook.com/groups/writersclubmembership. And I'd love to have you in there. There's additional training and resources for you as an author. And I can't wait to further connect and celebrate your book. Don't forget to like and comment below the episode. And I look forward to seeing you on the next one.